أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي لا يبلغ مدحته القائلون ولا يحصين عماءه العادون ولا يؤدي حقه المجتهدون الذي لا يدركه بعد الهمم ولا يناله غوص الفطن الذي ليس لصفته حد محدود ولا نعت موجود ولا وقت معدود ولا أجل ممدود فطر الخلائق بقدرته ونشر الرياح برحمته ووتد بالسخور ميدان أرضه والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين خاتم النبيين سيدنا الممجد بشيرنا المصدق نذيرنا المؤيد المصطفى الأمجد محمود الأحمد الذي سمي في السماء بأحمد وفي الأرض بأبي القاسم محمد. وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين الذين قال عنهم الرسول اللهم إن هؤلاء أهل بيتي وخاصتي وحامتي لحمهم لحمي ودمهم دمي يؤلمني ما يؤلمهم ويحزنني ما يحزنهم أنا حرب لمن حاربهم وسلم لمن سالمهم وعدو لمن عاداهم ومحب لمن أحبهم إنهم مني وأنا منهم فاجعل صلواتك وبركاتك ورحمتك وغفرانك ورضوانك علي وعليهم وأذهب عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم ومبغذيهم وغاصب حقوقهم ومنكر فضائلهم ومناقبهم من أول يوم ظلمهم إلى لقاء يوم الدين. أما بعد، السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين، ثم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. I'm grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for having granted me and you the opportunity to yet participate in the commemoration of Ashura and beyond. And we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us amongst the true azadar of Aba Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salatu wa salam. And we are grateful for this tawfiq to discuss issues, to grow through Ashura, and to allow ourselves to grow through the teachings of the event of Ashura. It is imperative and important that when Muharram comes, and Muharram, or the month of Muharram comes, and you and I participate in this month, that we reflect upon issues, upon the historical events, upon the emotional parts, upon the philosophical aspects, upon the historical importance of the event of Karbala that has taken place. It is important that we grow through those learnings that we take from that particular Muharram in which we participate. For myself, when I look at myself and I ask myself of how many Muharrams I have participated in myself, I begin to wonder as to what was it that I have taken from each year in Muharram and Safar and beyond, and which aspects of it have allowed me to grow. What I wish to do in this series of lectures that I wish to present, inshallah ta'ala, in the first few lectures, I want to examine the khutbah of the fourth Imam, Imam As-Sajjad, salawatullahi wa salamu alayh, in the Darbar of Sham. It is a very important khutbah, a khutbah, a sermon that Imam alayhi salatu wa salam delivers before Yazid ibn Muawiyah. The importance of this khutbah, the learnings from this particular sermon, the circumstances in which this particular khutbah was delivered, the presence of the people who were there, the idea for Imam alayhi salatu wa salam to have delivered this particular sermon, the culmination of the ideology of Abu Sufyan and Muawiyah, and all these things are extremely important to understand the mission of Imam alayhi salatu wa salam and the delivery of this historical sermon that he delivered in the Darbar of Sham. It is extremely important for us to understand each word of this particular khutbah. Although we may not be able to complete the khutbah, I will try to get the important extracts from this khutbah and try to examine it, open it up a bit as to what Imam alayhi salatu wa salam was trying to say, why he was saying that particular thing, what were the circumstances in his time. Let me also very briefly explain the tragic circumstances in which our fourth Imam, Imam Zainul Abideen salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi, took the office of Imamah and assumed the responsibility of Imamah. The circumstances were extremely tragic, and I shall discuss these circumstances towards the end of tonight's lecture, inshallah ta'ala. But there has been no Imam throughout the lineage of Imamah who has assumed the responsibility of Imamah in more tragic circumstances than the fourth Imam alayhi salatu wasalam. After the event of Karbala and the brutal massacre that took place in Karbala, and this is only the introduction to my subject for now before I go into the khutbah of Imam alayhi salatu wasalam. Immediately after the event of Karbala, the circumstances in which the event of Karbala took place, it is from here that we begin the history of our fourth Imam alayhi salatu wasalam when he takes over the office of Imam. Imam is made to see on the day of Ashura, he is told by Janabi Zainab towards the end of the time of Asr. Janabi Zainab runs from Tillay Zainabiya, and this is not a part of Masa'ib that I want to recite, but I want you to concentrate on the state of Imam Zainul Abideen. Janabi Zainab leaves Tillay Zainabiya, the elevated area which is known as Tillay Zainabiya, from where she was trying to have a glimpse of what was happening to her brother Hussein. She leaves that particular place because she can no longer see her brother. She wants to know what is happening to him. She immediately leaves that place and she comes to the tent of Imam Zainul Abideen to wake him up. He is burning with fever. He is in his tent alone. She wakes him up and tells him, "O Sajjad, O my son, stand up and come, and I need to discuss, I want to talk to you." And Imam As-Sajjad stands up. He looks at his aunt Zainab, unable, helpless, unable to stand up. She assists him and he sits down. And then she says, "O Sajjad, I do not know what has happened to my brother Hussein. Is it possible for you to stand up and come out with me so that you can tell me what is happening to my brother Hussein and to your father?" Imam As-Sajjad stands up and he walks slowly, taking the shoulder of Janabi Zainab as a support, and he walks towards the tent. He looks towards his left and towards his right and sees nothing. And there cannot be more tragic circumstance than this. Suddenly he looks straight ahead and he sees the head of his father Hussein ibn Ali on a spearhead. And immediately he says, "Assalamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. Peace be upon you, O Aba Abdullah." This is the day of Ashura. Saying this, "Assalamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah," puts upon him the responsibility of Imam. He is now the Imam of the time. He now needs to deal with the situation. He needs to take control. Until now it was his father. He now needs to take control of what is happening in the Shia world, in the world, within the Muslim Ummah. The Shias are in the state of chaos and confusion. On the one side, there is an expression of Islam, which is expressed by Yazid and his people. And the people who are talking about Islam, they also recite La ilaha illallah. They also say Muhammadur Rasulullah. They also pray, they also fast. On the other hand is the grandson of the Holy Prophet of Islam, who has been killed. The voices from this side are supported by money, are supported by power, are supported by political tools, are supported by propaganda, by everything. On this hand, there is a band of 72 people that have just given their lives for the sake of safeguarding the divine laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Sharia. So here is a situation where there are two people. An imam takes the responsibility of leading the ummah at this particular time. What are the circumstances? "Assalamu alayka ya Ali ibn al-Husayn. Peace be upon you, O Ali son of Hussein." Those are extremely difficult circumstances in which he takes over this particular responsibility. Now, the Shias are in the state of chaos. They do not want to subscribe, or they do not want to openly show to the world that they are supporting Hussein because of hostility against the follower of Hussein. Their imam is soon, within moments, going to be chained and handcuffed. He is going to be wearing a collar that will not allow him to raise his head. He is soon going to be chained. He is soon going to be paraded amongst the lady, together with the ladies of the household of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam. He needs to reach out to the Shias. On the other hand, there is going to begin a movement known as the Kaysaniya movement in Madinatul Munawwara, where there is a movement to accept Muhammad Hanafiya, the son of Ali ibn Abi Talib, as the Imam. And the true Imam, the fourth Imam, is going to the prison for a period of 1 year, having to pass through Karbala and Kufa, and from Kufa into Sham, and having to take the responsibility of Imam. So for this whole year, Imam is going to be absent, and we people and the Shias are not going to have access to this fourth Imam. The situation in Damascus is such that people have been brainwashed to the extent that they are questioning whether Ali was a Muslim or not a Muslim. This is the situation in Damascus, in Sham. You know, when Ali ibn Abi Talib, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi, when Imam alayhi salatu wasalam was murdered, and he received the blow of Ibn Muljim in Kufa, and the news reached the people of Sham that Ali was killed in the Masjid of Kufa, inside the mihrab of Masjid of Kufa. You know what they said to each other? Ali and Masjid? What was Ali doing in the Masjid? You know what that means? The brainwashing that had taken place in Sham was such that they could not believe that Ali was even praying his salat. This was the situation. So this is the situation in Sham. On the streets or on the way from Karbala to Kufa, these people are known, the captives are known as rebels. They are known as Baghi. They are known as those who disobey the commands of the ruler of the time. So our fourth Imam alayhi salatu wasalam is now under such circumstances where he needs to take control of the Shia community in particular, of the Muslim Ummah in general, and he needs to prove three things. One, his position as the next Imam after Abu Abdullah al-Husayn salawatullahi wasalamu alayhi. He needs to prove this to the people that he is the Imam. Number two, he needs to make sure that the blood of Hussein that dropped in the plains of Karbala is not wasted, and the purpose for which Hussein ibn Ali gave his life is continued. And number three, he needs to make sure that he prepares a ground for further development of the Shia community immediately after him. These are the tasks of someone who is in a state of captivity, who is heavily chained, whose the collar on whose neck does not allow him to even raise his head. And you know why? And you know why? Because the collar that was fitted in the neck of Imam al-Sajjad had nails. The nails of these collars normally in those days used to be outside. But the collar that was specially prepared for the fourth Imam, the nails of this collar were inside. And therefore every time he moved, he could not move because those nails would touch his neck. He was unable to raise his head. And sometimes he helped himself raise his head while placing his hands behind those nails, supporting so that he is able to see the head of his father on a spear. This is Imam Sajjad alayhi salatu wasalam under these tragic circumstances. He needs to prove that he is the Imam. For 1 year he is not going to have access whatsoever. Number two, Imam alayhi salatu wasalam also needs to make sure that he gathers the Shia community that is totally scattered. You know this azadari of Abu Abdullah al-Husayn salawatullahi wasalamu alayhi. We take this azadari for granted. Only if we knew what was given for the establishment of this particular azadari, only if we knew the purpose for which it is. Towards the end of my lectures, first five, inshallah, four or five, I will deal with the khutbah of the fourth Imam. And the other lectures, inshallah ta'ala, I will try to examine our state, our own state, in our understanding of this particular azadari, as to what we have done. Is the impact of the azadari that Imam Sajjad left for you and I continuous, or has it reached a point of stagnation? Do we need to move from this point onwards, or do we need to remain in the state in which we are? Needs to be examined and looked at, and needs to be seen whether the continuation of what Imam Zainul Abidin did is there within us or not. So I will try to concentrate in these two particular topics throughout this 10 days, inshallah ta'ala, that Allah has given you and I the tawfiq. Coming back, Imam alayhi salatu wasalam now is moving from Karbala to Kufa and from Kufa to Sham. He needs to make sure that he needs to bring about the Shias together, and he needs to show to them and prove to them that he is the Imam. How did he do this? Immediately after the release from the prison in Sham, Imam alayhi salatu wasalam returns back. Again, extremely tragic events through there, and he arrives back into Madinatul Munawwara. The first thing that Imam does is to make sure that he reminds the people of who he is, and he reminded them through this khutbah in Sham as to who he was, and we will discuss this particular khutbah. Throughout this time, Imam needs to keep reminding the people, whether they are friends or foe, whether they are enemies, whether they are aristocrats, whether they are VIPs, whether they are servants, whether they are army heads, whether they are military people, it makes no difference. Imam needs to make sure that he reminded each and everyone at every step of who he was. So what did he do, Imam alayhi salatu wasalam? In Madinatul Munawwara, Imam alayhi salatu wasalam brought the Shias together. How? You know, Raza Sirsawi is an Urdu poet, And he recites beautiful poetry, and one of the stanzas that he has written in relation to Azadari is absolutely beautiful. He says, Muttahid rakhe hai kul qaum ko tasbih hai aza. He says, what is keeping the community united is the tasbih of Azadari. This thread in between is keeping this Azadari together. These beads together. He says, Muttahid rakhe hai kul qaum ko tasbih hai aza. Door tootegi to dane bhi bikhar jayenge. He says, if the thread in between breaks, then all these beads are going to scatter. Therefore, this thread is acting as the aza of Imam alayhi salatu wasalam. He says, Muttahid rakhe hai kul qaum ko tasbih aza, door tootegi to dane bhi bikhar jayenge, machliyan reh nahi sakti kabhi pani ke baghair, hum juda honge ghame sheh se to mar jayenge. He says the fish is unable to breathe, is unable to live without water. If we are separated from Azadari, this community will die once and for all. So what is keeping us alive is established by the fourth Imam, Imam Zainul Abideen salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayhi. How did he do this? How did he do this before I come to the khutbah? How did Imam alayhi salatu wasalam do this? Every time he passed by a shop that was selling meat. And we hear this in Masa'ib. But I want you to listen to this history of Imam and to see the strategy employed by Imam alayhi salatu wasalam to establish this great, great, great institution of Azadari. Whenever he passed by a place where a butcher was selling meat, Imam would weep. Not just weep, he would scream out crying. And when asked, Yabna Rasulullah, what is it that makes you weep? He would say, I'm just wondering whether you gave water to this animal that you slaughtered. He would cry, and the butcher would cry together with him. My master, why? I did what was required of me to do. And he would say, I wish you understood why I cried, because I have seen my own father 3 days thirsty being brutally massacred in Karbala. And I am unable to forget this. Whenever there was a wedding that was taking place, Imam alayhi salatu wasalam would be invited, and he would say, I will come, but is it possible for you to have the majlis of my father Hussein ibn Ali, so that I may be able to come and attend? What was all this? What was all this? Was he unable to cry at home on his own? Of course he was. He could have cried and wept, and he was crying. Wudu that was being performed in public, not at home. When he was performing wudu in public, he would cry so much that we have riwayat that say the water that he used to use to perform wudu used to be mixed with his tears until it became mudaf water, not valid for performance of wudu. Imam alayhi salatu wasalam was doing this for a particular reason, and that reason was only one: to make sure that through the azab, because he needed to do this unnoticed, he needed not to attract the attention of the government or of the caliph, who was hostile against Imam, who was prepared at any single time to kill him. And Imam alayhi salatu wasalam needed to make sure that what he did. So weeping over his father was not a crime. Weeping over his brother was not a crime. Weeping over the people of his household that were brutally massacred in Karbala was not something that was wrong. And therefore nobody could blame him or say anything to him. Gradually, one after the other, from Medina and onwards, Imam alayhi salatu wasalam established this institution of Azadari, so that people through this Azadari come together. And this coming together was allowing Imam, or was paving way for the development of the Shia community, and giving the opportunity for the coming Imams to carry on doing or taking the legacy of Karbala forward. Having said this, now this is just part of a very important history that is Someone known as Muhammad Hanafiya, son of Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, uncle of the fourth Imam alayhi salatu wasalam, who is said to have claimed Imama, or there are people who are considering him Imama. So there is a movement known as Kaysaniya movement. Imam is in the prison for one whole year. During this period when he is in Sham, Imam alayhi salatu wasalam needs to make sure that what he is going to do in Medina is understood by the people. He needs to make sure that those who are considered to be the spectators who have come and have been invited by Yazid ibn Muawiyah, he needs to make sure that they know who he is and where he comes from and what he believes in and what ideology he is the embodiment of. And he at the same time needs to expose those people who are Muslims or claim to be Muslims but have absolutely no regard for the laws of Sharia or the sanctity of the Sharia of Islam. He needs to do all these things. At the same time, he needs to protect Sakina. He needs to protect Janabi Zainab. He needs to protect the women. At the same time, he needs to give commands to those who know that he is a Shia, that he is the Imam of the Shias, and he needs to take this forward. So now let me bring you to the Darbar of Sham. We hear this in the Masa'ib, and I would like you to listen to this khutbah as we go along, insha'Allah ta'ala. But I just want to bring you to the preamble of this particular khutbah that Imam alayhi salam delivers in Sham. You have probably already heard the khutbah of Bibi Zainab. The khutbah of Bibi Zainab is very closely connected to the khutbah of Imam al-Sajjad. The khutbah of Janabi Zainab is the foundation that she lays for Imam to deliver the final blow in Sham. She prepares the ground in her khutbah, and the fourth Imam delivers this final blow and exposes Yazid and guarantees his release and guarantees this azadari of Abu Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salatu wasalam. So now the circumstances in Sham are such, and I don't want you to listen to this as masaib for now. The women of the household of the Holy Prophet of Islam have been made to wait outside for 72 hours. They have walked from Kufa to Sham, and upon their entry into Damascus, the people have spat at them, the people have thrown stones at them, the people have used abusive language against them, the people have laughed at them, the people have mocked them, and after all that walk, for 72 hours, they are made to stand outside the Darbar of Yazid. Why? Why made to stand outside the Darbar of Yazid? What was the purpose of it? What was Yazid gaining? These were not prisoners of war for Allah's sake. There is a difference between a prisoner of war and helpless women and children. There is a huge difference when you capture a prisoner of war and somebody or some people who are helpless women and children. They are made to stand outside. Why are they made to stand outside? It's important for us to know. The Darbar is being decorated. Some of our naive minds think that probably this decoration means series and lights and flags. That's what a decoration means. But that's not what a decoration of the Darbar means at all. We are not talking about this being lit up and flags being placed there and decoration in the literal sense is taking place. You know what was the decoration of that particular Darbar? The army chief heads were being invited. The aristocrats of the time, the wealthiest and the millionaires were being invited. The ambassadors of various countries were being invited. These are the people who were going to decorate the Darbar by sitting there to see what was going to be brought before them. There were people who were wealthy who were being invited. Poets, Yazid bin Muawiyah himself was very fond of Arabic poetry. In fact, he was a very good poet. In fact, when he heard the khutbah of Janabi Zainab, he complimented the Arabic language of Janabi Zainab. Yazid bin Muawiyah. He was an accomplished poet himself. He has one poem in which he violates the very belief system of his own by saying, Layta ashyakhi bi badrin shahidu. This is what Yazid bin Muawiyah utters. Huh? He is the caliph of the Muslim Ummah. What is he uttering? Layta ashyakhi bi badrin shahidu. I wish my forefathers saw. And when he was doing this, he was playing with the sacred teeth of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. With his stick, huh? And he was saying, Layta ashyakhi bi badrin shahidu. I wish the elders of Badr saw what I have done, what revenge I have taken from these people. This is his poetry himself. Layta ashyakhi bi badrin shahidu. He talks about it. And then he says, La'ibat hashimu bil mulki fala. Khabarun ja'a wala wahyun nazal. The Banu Hashim have played with the government. There is no wahi or revelation that was revealed, or there was no news that came from there. And this was a man who was saying, La ilaha illallah. He's saying there is no revelation. Muhammad and his family have played with the mulk. La'ibat hashimu bil mulk. La'ibat hashimu bil mulki fala khabarun ja'a wala wahyun nazal. There is no news that has been received. There is nothing that came from there. There was no revelation, nor was there any news. It was Banu Hashim playing with the mulk. So this is Yazid. He is inviting the top people. The 3 days was because some of them were unable to make it in time. The ambassadors from various parts, some of the people who were rich and the wealthiest people of the time, the army chiefs and the army heads, these were the people who were going to come. It was full. It was full. People from Habash, the Roman Empire that was at that particular time. All these people were invited until each and every invitee was not present there. He did not allow Janabi Zainab and Imam al-Sajjad to enter that particular place. The question is, why though? Why? Was there any system at that particular time to present the prisoners of war before the king? If we try to study the history of the past and see, was there any such system? At the most, the prisoners of war were captured and put under military surveillance. There was no such system that the prisoners of war were brought before the king of the time to be paraded. And all these invitations were to take place. And all these people were just brought to come and see what? A few women, helpless women and children, and somebody who was heavily chained, one man. Was there such a system at that particular time? Why? Why so much meticulousness? Why so much care is being taken in presenting this darbar in this particular manner? For what? For those helpless women? All these people are going to come and waste their time upon the invitation. How much money, wealth is being spent? Time is being spent only to present these helpless women and children? What was the problem? What was Yazid doing? He was a fasiq, there is no doubt. He was a fajir, there is no doubt. He was a sinner, there is no doubt. He was a drunkard, there is no doubt. But Yazid was not foolish or stupid. If we think that he was a foolish man, no. He was a culmination of an ideology. He was representing a particular ideology. He wanted to make sure that his ideology is triumphant at that particular time. But what he knew, that although these were not prisoners of war, they were the embodiment of the true divinity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was aware. And to be able to take my ideology and to be able to present my ideology to the Muslim world, I will need to make sure that I humiliate and eradicate and remove this particular ideology from the face of this earth. That is why he is taking so much care in making sure that he brings all the... This is not only teaching a lesson to a few helpless women. It is not... He is not doing this so that it is a deterrent against anyone who wants to raise his head tomorrow against Yazid bin Muawiyah. It cannot be. It is too much for him to take so much care and so much meticulousness and so much preparation to try. And he was supremely, this Darbar was being supremely well organized by the people of Yazid bin Muawiyah, only so that he can present these captives. After the third day, 72 hours, when the captives' caravan was made to enter the Darbar, I can only tell you to imagine, there is no need to explain as to the reaction and the awe-struck people who watched these helpless women being paraded there. I can't, there is, you can read history, but sometimes for those students who study history, it is important for them to actually put themselves inside history and try and be there at that particular time to experience what was happening. The people were awestruck at what they were seeing as they were entering. Imam had his head bowed down. I don't know what was happening to Janabi Zain. Wallah, I don't know. And I don't think I can even tell you what was happening to her, because a historian can only write. But what was happening to Zainab bint Ali at that time, only she will ever be able to explain to you and I. What was happening to Sakina at that time? But it was a darbar in which Imam alayhi salatu wasalam was being made to enter. And Imam needed to do something. He needed to make sure that he tells people who he was. He needed to make sure that he brought about that awareness within the people that will guarantee the continuation of the mission of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein in front of the people who were worst enemies, who were enemies of Islam through ignorance, not through themselves. They were unaware of what was the truth. He needed to expose to them the falsehood, and he needed to prove to them what truth actually was. And this is when Imam alayhi salatu wasalam enters. There is commotion, and I am fast forwarding this. There is commotion in the particular, this darbar, within there is a commotion. And suddenly Yazid bin Muawiyah realizes that this commotion may lead into some kind of a problem. So he calls upon someone who was considered to be a scholar. And he says to him, come and deliver a speech. Imagine who is in the darbar. Imagine total invitations. Most invitations have been accepted. Most of the people are present there. Each one is curious about what is happening. And this supposed scholar is being brought on the pulpit to deliver a particular message. What is the message? This scholar comes on the pulpit and says, praise be to the Lord. Praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for having made Yazid triumphant and for humiliating these people who are standing here. The moment he uttered those words, Imam alayhi salatu wasalam, with that heavy collar on his neck, immediately says, وَيْحَكَ أَيُّهَا الْخَطِيبُ, woe upon you, O supposed scholar, O khatib, O speaker, woe upon you. اشتريت مرضات المخلوق بسخط الخالق. You have just bought, you have just purchased the pleasure of the people against the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the fourth imam. He stays audaciously, courageously. He stands and says, you have just bought the pleasure of the people who are sitting here against the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We call him fourth imam Bimar. We call him Bimar. We call him sick. In our marshiyas and our munajats and our qasidas, we call him Bimar. You know what a poet says? He says, चाहे तो अभी कटकर गिर जाएं सभी कड़ियां. द पोएट सेज हर मौज है सक्का की तदबीर के कब्जे में, बहता हुआ दरिया है शब्बीर के कब्जे में. ही सेज चाहे तो अभी कटकर गिर जाए सभी कड़ियां. इफ इमाम सज्जाद वॉन्ट्स ऑल दीज चेन्स वुड मेल्ट अवे जस्ट अपॉन हिज इंस्ट्रक्शंस. चाहे तो अभी कटकर गिर जाए सभी कड़ियां, सज्जाद को मत समझो जंजीर के कब्जे में. डोंट थिंक सज्जाद इज कंट्रोल्ड बाय दीज चेन्स. नो, ही सेज वैहक वो अपॉन यू इन फ्रंट ऑफ दोज पीपल who could immediately raise a sword and get rid of Imam Sajjad immediately. But that does not frighten him. Allahu Akbar. My time for today is up and I will just go into the Masaib. It is said that when this captive's caravan, and I want you to imagine, because Masaib is nothing but imagination. You only need to say Sajjad, you only need to say Zainab, and it is Masaib. You only need to say Hussein, and it is Masaib. Masaib is for us. What happened in Karbala, what happened at that particular time, is something that you can only imagine. But let me tell you, it helps us to be able to understand what was happening there on the 11th. Of Muharram, when this captive's caravan was being paraded. And they arrived in the outskirts of Kufa. They say that the people were unaware of what was happening. Right ahead, right in front, were spearheads. Each spearhead had a head. One of them was Abbas. One of them was Hussein, one of them was Ali Akbar, one of them was Qasim, Uno Muhammad. They were all on spearheads, on lances, as this caravan entered, this captive's caravan entered Kufa. These spectators and the onlookers are looking at what is happening. Amongst those people who were onlookers, there were some young boys who were engrossed in certain activity. Amongst these young boys was one who was Habib ibn Madahir's son. And he saw that he was unaware that his father was killed in Karbala. He did not know that his father was killed in Karbala. Habib ibn Madahir's son immediately recognizes the head of his father. He rushes down there, attacks the person who was holding the head of his father, and he takes that head and hugs it and embraces it, kisses it, and then says, "Who dare holds the head of my father like this? Who dare takes the head of my father like this?" Allahu Akbar, it is said that at that time, people heard the sound of the chains. And Imam As-Sajjad helps himself look towards the head of his father. And he says, "Oh father, oh my father, I am helpless. I am unable to do anything. I am chained. My hands are chained. My feet are chained. My father, I am unable to." سيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. ماتم حسين.
يا حسين کربلا والوں کی زندہ